Blog Talk Radio.
We have to believe that this is where we're supposed to be.
And you can only be a hero to one woman at a time.
Just a kiss on your lips in the moonlight. Just a touch.
I will make you pay for hurting Jason. It's going to happen. You've got payback coming, and I'm going to love watching it land on you.
It's Carly, this is Daytime After Dark, and I'm your host, but tonight, hopefully, the wonderful, the sexy, the great looking, oh, I have so many words to describe, Christoph St. John, he will be here, I cannot wait, hopefully he doesn't forget. So there's a couple of things I want to say before he comes on because he's not here yet. Okay, my rants for tonight. People, you knew my rants were coming. This is Daytime After Dark. You know, I thought about start calling it the rant show, but no, I'm just going to leave it to Daytime After Dark. But, okay, my rants really quick. Oh, you know what, Grammy people? You messed up this time. You really, 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 messed up because, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair that, you snubbed Lady A. It was a snub. It was the worst snub I ever seen in my whole entire snubbing life. You know, snubbing Lady A is wrong, 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 wrong. Okay, I won't sing my wrong song tonight. And I want to say congratulations go out to Lady Annabelle. Hillary Scott's expecting a baby. Yay! And then, Jennifer Nevers and her husband on the Chicks had their little boy. Yay! Let's see, what else? What else was I going to say? And I am so happy I'm back, not being so mad at YNR for the moment. I am so happy I'm beyond happy. Abby is coming home. Abby is coming home. Mosty Weiland is coming back at YNR. And I could not be the happiest person on the planet for that. I never said they should have left. You know, is this funny? And let's see, what else? You know, there's rumors going around about everything. And my take on rumors is rumors can be wrong. Spoilers can be shitty. It can be all wrong, wrong, wrong. And so, yeah, that's my new advice for that. And I am so glad that my boyfriend, Anderson Cooper, is on the mend from being blind for 36 hours. Anderson, if you're listening, I am so glad you're better. But come on, my soul, Anderson, I was supposed to be Miss Cooper. But then you did the whole gay thing, which is okay, but, you know, you kind of broke my heart. Let's see. Hi, Una and Michelle. Hi, Delaide. Hi, Kathy. Okay, I did not leave anyone out. Well, the guest. Guest 22. Hi, too. Let's see. Let's see what else. Oh, Christoph, it's you. Yay, okay. Okay, people, you know him on YNR as Neil. You know how much I love him. You know Neil is probably the sexiest guy in the world. And, you know, in Genoa City, he lights up you day 5 days a week on YNR. Let's welcome Christoph Suzanne.
Oh, you're so funny. Are you there, Carly? Are you there?
Well, I mean, it's
you're
true.
There?
I've taken a poll for you.
Carly, you are the sweetest lady I know. And that was one of the best presentations of a guest coming on your show that I've heard. And I'm partial because it's me. But thank you for saying that. Flattery will get you everywhere, girl. So it's nice to talk to you again on this Friday evening. What are you doing? What was the highlight of your day today, Carly? What was the one thing, man? And please don't say it this talking to me. What's the highlight of your day?
Well,
today?
Okay. Well, I went to the casino, but I lost. So, you know, I lost. So, but maybe if I had you with me, I could actually win. So maybe. You and I need to go to the casino because you could be everyone's good luck charm.
I could be a rabbit foot for you. So what game do you like to play at the casino?
I like to play with slots. I don't like blackjack. I don't like any of that. I just love this playing the slots. But I find people, just so you know, do not bet over $2, because if you bet $2, really, you're going to lose. Well, I bet $2 today, and I got 24, but then I did it again, and I lost the $2. So my advice to people is don't bet the high things. Go for the low things. Go for the bonuses and, you know, go for that. But I am so excited to talk to you. Oh, by the way, I have compiled a list because I don't like you with the new group that you have been with, Christoph, on the show. I'm not happy. Carly is not happy by the new little one that you are with. So I'm taking the liberty of making a list of the appropriate women Neil can be with on the show, because now the Harmony has left the building. I was sad to see Harmony leave. let's say that Debbie Morgan and you were the cutest thing on the planet. You guys were sexy. I don't know why they did what they did. I'm not happy with that.
Well, Carly, let me explain, if I may, why they, well, not exactly why they did what they did, but yeah, I agree that Harmony and Neil had some pretty good chemistry. And just a little side note, Harmony, or Debbie Allen and I, Debbie Allen, oh my gosh, she's going to kill me. Debbie Morgan, what am I talking about? Debbie Morgan and I worked together a few times before Young and the Restless. So it feels like we're family. We are. And I guess the writers, the head writer, et cetera, just had different designs and plans for the show, for my storyline. And I'm sure that it was nothing personal with Debbie Morgan. She's a fantastic actress and brought a lot of credibility and cachet to the show. But again, the writers were moving and are moving in a different direction. And unfortunately, Neil and Harmony are no more. So it saddens me too, but it also makes me happy that, you know, that there are some pretty good things happening within the storyline that's occurring now. And so that, you know, we'll just give it a chance, and maybe you'll start enjoying the pairing of Neil and Leslie. What do you think?
Okay, yeah, Leslie. But you know, pilot list of women I have for you, maybe you would go for one of them, because you, of all of them, you're not even related to Neil. I mean, Christoph, sorry, but Neil's not related to any of them, and I would go for another Victoria and Neil pairing, because Billy is out. Billy Miller is breaking my heart by leaving, but I think Victoria and Neil would be a very good little, you know, couple starter again. I mean, they could go.
They could go what? Go ahead, finish your thought.
No, they could go back to that. You could go back, you know, you could go, well, if Nikki and Victor don't play out, go for Nikki. Go for, you know, there's just like so many people. You could go for Fearless. Oh, my God,
yeah.
You and Monsieur Stafford, that would be hot. Okay, people, let's start with Fearless and Neil campaign. On the show, you guys get Fearless and Neil together.
You know, that's a very interesting pairing. And I believe that would be a pretty good match, maybe a match made in heaven. I adore Michelle Stafford, and I think that, you know, she's just such a talent. She really is. And I don't believe that they're going to go in that direction, though, Carly. So what? Give me someone else. So far, you suggested Phyllis. I agree. Nikki, I think there'd be an issue with Nikki because of Victor, but that might make for some good drama, right?
Exactly. That's why, because you've been way too nice to Victor. You have. I think you need to crumble him this letter like Zach is right now. I mean, I'm not saying what Zach is doing is great, but I'm glad you're back working with Zach, and, you know, but I was sad that you left Catherine. How did you feel about that? Because, you know, you and Catherine have been loyal to each other. You know, you have a son, grandson, you know, intertwined. So how did it feel leaving her to go and help, you know, Zach and all that?
Well, I would have to say that Neil was pretty torn about leaving Chancellor Industries, and especially because of the fact that Catherine Chancellor is such a titan, man. She is just, Genoa City. She is Young and the Restless. And, you know,
yes,
so
she is.
But it was time, I guess, for him to move on again and take a position of CEO with Jack Abbott. So yeah, it saddened me to leave a Chancellor, Neil, that is, not Christoph, but well, part of Christoph was sad too, I gotta say. But you know, the old saying that Walt Disney used to say all the time is keep moving forward. So that's kind of what's happening right now.
Well, I agree with that, but I think you need to know, I mean, I know your character probably doesn't know it yet, but your boss is on drugs right now. And so I think it's time for Neil to take over. I would love to see you running the company. I would love to see you go in there and take over and run the company and take it from Victor and Zach. And, you know, you taking the empire away from both of them would be a great story, a great leading story for you. Because we need you to get you an Emmy this year, because I think it's over time that you got an Emmy, and I think you deserve one. And so I think we need Neil to just be a little more, I mean, I love it when you're nice, don't get me wrong, but Neil needs to come out and play, in my opinion.
Well, Carly, your opinion counts, and I happen to share your opinion. When it comes to Neil being such a stuffed shirt, it's an issue for me personally, but I am paid to play this character. And if I'm supposed to be nerdy, if I'm supposed to be stuffy, if I'm supposed to be bougie, then that's what they want me to play. You know, I'm not sure if the audience remembers that back in 2006, the storyline had Neil after he and his wife were having some very serious marital problems. He decided to change up his entire style. So he essentially threw out his suits, and he started dressing a little Kanye West flavor, a lot of polo shirt, white slack pants, jeans, and it was more or less the coming out of Neil Winters. I'm not sure how he got back to the suits. It was never explained. There was a period of about 4 years, 5 years in between where, you know, Neil wasn't really on the canvas that much. And so I think that's possibly why he ended up back in the suits and being so stuffy again. So we're retreading a storyline, which is fine, you know, but taking over Newman Enterprises, I'd like to do that. Sure, that would be great. How about you send in that little bit, that storyline as your own and see maybe if they'll listen to you. What do you think, Carly?
And yeah, I think they do listen to me because I could get that. So, I mean, I know, congratulations about you guys being number one for how many weeks you guys have been number one is incredible. You guys are the staying power over there, and I believe you guys will be on forever. In my head, you guys will be on forever. I don't see YNR going off for a very long time. I just think the writing is getting better and better, and the stories are getting really better. But, you know, Neil needs to be on 5 days a week. And I know that would, you know, mean you have to work 5 days a week. But, you know, I think, you know, we don't see Neil every day, and I think we need to start seeing you more and more and more, and I think that would be good.
You know, if I were stranded somewhere in the Antarctica, below freezing temperatures, I would want you with me because you're so warm and loving that you would melt the ice, man. You would create the heat, man, so we could survive. I love it, man. I love you, Carly. You're okay with me. Let me just address one other thing, though, that I was thinking about as I was talking about Neil taking over Newman. The truth is, at this point in Neil's career, it's time for him to start his own company. And I keep kind of talking about this, and I'm sure the fans, a lot of the fans anyway, feel the same way. This I know because I like to read my social media pages. So Neil is more than qualified to break away and to begin his very own company. And you know, we'll see if that ever happens. I mean, I'm pitching that, but indeed, you know, where we are now is not a bad place. And in fact, it's a pretty good place. I went from working once every 3 weeks, once a month, to working once, twice, three times a week now. So that means that the story is developing, and very current stuff is happening now. So, you know, let's buckle our seatbelts and hang on for the ride, because there's some interesting stuff coming up. I kid you not.
Well, see, that's good, and I think you need to go over on Price is Right, because you guys are next, though, and I think because your son-in-law on the show, Kane, it always seems to be on there, not like a lot, but sometimes I was thinking, Neil Kristoff really should be on Price is Right. And I was thinking this the other day when I was watching it, and I'm thinking, yeah, here, all they would have to do is just have you take your suit off, be one of the models, and the crowd would go insane. So I think you should just do that because you guys are next door, and, you know, I could treat Duke Carey and bug him for, like, a million years until he says yes. But I think you should go on there because it would be great. It would be great, more exposure for you. Not that you need it, but I just think the crowd would go crazy.
Thank you. I can just see this meeting with Drew Carey and the producer of the show and me. I would walk in and say, okay, look, man, I really want to come on the show. And the main thing is I want to, in the middle of spinning a wheel between the showcases, I want to take my shirt off, right? And see what they say.
Oh,
I said, and Connie said, but that's what I should do. I love it, man. You're funny.
No, okay, I'm funny, I get it, but I'm very serious because I just think that you, I mean, I could have you on a million shows if it were up to me.
Right.
You know, will you ever do Dancing with the Stars? That's what I want to know. Because
sure, would I do it? Yeah, I mean, that's a very reputable show, and you know, there's some good people on there. Yeah, I would consider doing that show. I don't have two left feet, not really, although I've claimed that before. But you know, I try to take everything as it comes. If they were to offer me a Dancing with the Stars season, then I would definitely go and you know, and put my tap shoes on. So we'll see. From your lips to God's ears.
What about a crossover for Neil on B&B? Do you think that will ever happen? Because I have played a scenario why you should go over there and who you should be with for a day, and I just think you on B&B and Y&L on the Sunday would be really good for me personally, but I just think you could be over Borden the Beautiful, taking over Forest in District 2, and then you could figure out how Neil could get his own company by taking over two companies and then getting your own company, and then you will be happy.
That's a great idea, Carly. That's the cross-pollination of characters from Y&R to Bold and Beautiful and vice versa has occurred a few times. I know that Jack Abbott's been there. Eric Braden, Victor Newman's been there. Lauren, Tracy Bregman. Yeah, they've had quite a few crossovers. And would I enjoy doing that? Of course. You know, that would be up to the producers of both shows. And who knows? That might just be part of what is in the future. We don't know this. I can't tell you what is occurring right now.
You know, we're 6 weeks ahead,
but you never know. That's all I can tell you. You never know what's going to happen in the future.
So is there any scoop you can give us for what's about to come up with Neil? Any drops, any kind of hints? Will you and Kane be able to work out your differences? Do you think you really have forgiven Kane for all the stuff that he's presumably through the years? Or do you think you guys are going to be at a stalemate?
Good question, Carly. I believe that Neil has already forgiven Kane for his actions and inactions, things that he's done in his life, the lies that he's told. But I think Neil knows that deep down inside, Kane is one of the best. Otherwise, his daughter wouldn't be with him. And so, you know, being a father of three myself and my older kids, you know, I've already gone through quite a bit of the dating scene, especially with my middle kid. And, you know, I'm very cautious and very careful, but I trust her to make the right decisions, and I trust her judgment, right? So a lot of it's left up to her. But she has my blessings 99% of the time. I've only had one experience where I didn't really like the guy she was dating. So too, you know, Neil is observing Kane's relationship with his daughter. And I believe by this time, by this point in the game, he's already forgiven him. It's just a matter of, you know, them getting along, having a cohesive work environment to make sure that nothing bad happens while they're improving Jabot Cosmetics. That's truly it. So, and can I drop anything on you? I can't really do that because we are bound to secrecy. And, it, you know, there's a clause in my contract that says if I say anything that it's possible I could get terminated. So, but I can tell you that Kane and Neil will have, they will be seeing eye to eye on a number of things. It's just a matter of what those things are and when they happen.
Well, I'm glad. Well, you kind of, in a way, because I love the relationship that you have with Devon. I think it's one of the best father-son relationships there is in daytime. And even though you guys are not, you know, you're not his bio dad, but, you know, you've taken the place of it. You've done such a great job. And,
right.
you know, with Tucker there, and Tucker has done bad things lately.
Right.
Do you think there should be a scene where you and Tucker really hash things out? Because where Devon is concerned, I think, you know, he's finding out what kind of guy Tucker is, but he's still trying to love the guy but love you. Do you want your character to, like, sit down and talk to Tucker about things, or would you like to punch the guy out?
Well, personally, you mean as Neil? I'm sure Neil is the consummate diplomat when it comes to all affairs. And so I don't believe that his first action would be to put Tucker in the UFC ring and, you know, go blow by blow. He would love to sit down and talk to him, but he's already done that. They've already had a couple of conversations about Devon and, you know, Tucker's place in Devon's life. So Stephen Nichols, who plays Tucker, very fine actor. I love working with him. Sure, I'd love to have more scenes with Stephen and with Tucker. So we'll see what happens with that, right?
So who's your favorite person to work with on screen, and who's your favorite person to hang out off screen?
Oh, okay. On screen, favorite person. You want to get me in trouble. I see how you
yes,
are.
Yes, I do. Why not?
Well, it's so hard to just pick one person from the show.
Okay,
to say, this is my.
Three.
But wait, hold on, Carly.
Yeah.
I'll pick the person that would make the top of the list, and I think everyone would agree that this person is possibly, quite possibly, everyone's favorite to work with. I'm going to say it's Jeanne Cooper. Jeanne Cooper plays Jacqueline Chancellor. I'll sit in her dressing room and rehearse the scenes for the day, and we will laugh and laugh and have such a great time just getting into, you know, the subject at hand. Jeanne, by far, has the most chutzpah. Wow, I can't even believe, I don't think I said chutzpah before in an interview. She's such a classy dame, you know, and at the same time, you know, she can duke it out with the best of them. So it's definitely Jeanne Cooper, but I do have other favorites. I mean, you know, I love working with Eric Braeden. You know, Eric is such a smart, intelligent cat, and at the same time, this is what people don't know about Eric, is that he is funny as all get out. I mean, he's got jokes and then some more jokes, and we have a great time laughing on set as well. So, and then I miss certain people who are no longer on the canvas. I miss Shamar, you know, I mean, even with his big head, my man is still one of my favorite people, you know, and Vicky Rowell I miss greatly. But presently, my scene partner most of the time now is Angel Conwell. And she's just such a breath of fresh air, man. She knows her material backwards and forwards. She's so professional, talented, and, you know, I look forward to working with her. So how about that for, I gave you three, if not four.
Well, see, that's good. So who did you hang out with anyone offset, or did you just go home, spend time with the kids, or do you hang out with your Y&R family off the set?
It is a Y&R family. Most of the time, we all kind of just go back to our separate homes, and we don't do that much hanging out outside of the studio. But I do actually hang out with Daniel Goddard, who plays Kane, because we live near each other. So,
oh, cool.
You know, he has two small kids. My 9-year-old, you know, she likes to play with them a little bit. Years ago, I used to hang out religiously with Scott Reeves, who played Ryan. I've hung out a lot with Darius McCrary, who played Malcolm. Shamar, when he was working on the show, we used to hang out. Brighton lives too far away from where I am, otherwise we'd be hanging. There's quite a few relationships that, you know, transcend the studio.
The scene that I loved most lately, I mean, was a couple of months ago, maybe a year ago, when you and Nick were playing basketball. That, I found very educational and very, yes, I'm not saying why with educational or anything, but I love the way you and Joshua have that chemistry. And you guys don't get to work together a lot, but when you guys do, the chemistry is there. You guys have that friendship, and, you know, I think you need to introduce him to the new lady in your life on the show, and I think Nick needs to let you know about Avery, and I think you need to tell Jessica Collins to come on my show, because I would love to interview her. That's like
okay.
Button. But no, I just think right now you are having the best time on there, and, you know, will we see you on the Christmas, I mean, if you can tell the fans, will we see you on the Christmas episode of Y&R this year? Because some soaps, you know, don't have the Christmas episode. Sometimes they skip over Christmas. Some soaps don't. Why not using Dylan, which I love, but will you?
Right. I'm not sure if we are doing a Christmas episode. Well, it would have already been done. And so to answer your question, if we did an actual Christmas episode, which I think we did, then I was not a part of that. I'm sure I'm on the periphery, either the day before, the day after Christmas, or something like that. But traditionally, there have been airings of past episodes on some holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I'm not 100% sure, you know.
Don't get me wrong, Christoph. I love Christmas and Thanksgiving. Don't get me wrong, but what I don't like it, you know, we don't get to see all episodes of our soaps because, you know, it's classic or repeats, and, you know, people actually miss you guys on the holidays. We are like, are we one? A classic? Or, you know, for the fans, we get disappointed because it's like you leave us on a cliffhanger for maybe one or 2 days, and then we have to watch it. So growing up and now, do you have a soap you watched, or were you not into the soaps growing up?
That's a fair question, seeing that since I've been on a soap for as long as I have I ever watched soaps? When I was 14, I used to watch General Hospital, and at that time, it was right around the big Luke and Laura wedding, etc. And so I thought that show was just so well written, great characters, even at that young age of 14. I didn't watch any after that, and I purposely didn't watch any soaps when I started on Generations, because I just didn't want to have any kind of imitation, you know, looking at other people and thinking, oh, you know, let me duplicate and let me imitate. So, you know, that's always been my policy. And strangely enough, Carly, I really have never watched with consistency my own show. I don't watch The Young and the Restless. I will watch when someone says, hey, it was just such a great episode, and, you know, they'll give me details like, oh, yeah, I remember doing that. Or, you know, like Michael's Christmas show that he did. It was such a wonderful show. I had to watch that. I mean, there's some that I peep out purposely, but I don't watch with regularity.
So you don't watch yourself then? You don't, I mean,
no.
You don't go back and critique it and...
No, Carly, I can't. I can't really watch myself for the same reason that I don't want to watch other people on soaps, because I don't want to look at myself and think, oh, I should do that again or I shouldn't do that again. You know, I don't want to study myself like that as an actor. Once my scene is done, it's done and I've moved on.
You know, I thought because I will run you a say why not forever and ever and ever. But I thought if you had to go to another soap besides Bowden the Beautiful, would you be more open, I love my game, so Crescent, to go to Days of Our Life or Zeno Hospital? Because, you know, I could see you on Zeno Hospital in between Luke and Sunny. Well, and it's Steve Burton and there, Jason too, but he's presumed dead right now. But I could see you in the storyline with them, and will you ever consider that? Because I could see you doing that.
Well, after hearing me talk about General Hospital, my guess is that you're going to think that I would go to General Hospital, and that is the case. But that would only be if Young the Restless were no longer in the picture. You know, 5 short years ago, if there still was a possibility to soap hop, so to speak. If you look at the, you know, professional athletes, they have the ability, once a contract runs out, to go to the highest bidder, to a team that they've always wanted to play for, et cetera. It's kind of similar in daytime, was anyway. Now, seeing that there's only 4 soaps on air, it makes it pretty tough. There's a lot of unemployed, wonderful, talented actors.
Mm-hmm.
From Guiding Light, As the World Turns, Another World, All My Children, The One Life to Live, all, you know, these shows that have gone down have left a lot of people jobless. And so it's just becoming increasingly more difficult, you know, to soap hop. But GH would be my next pick if I were no longer employed by Young and the Restless.
Wow. Well, I'm happy I want you on my info, you know, ever, because I think you belong there, you fit there. You know, why not is you? I mean, you say that, yeah, Jean Cooper is the heart and soul of why not, and I know she is, and I love her. I love her, come on the show, too. But, you know, I feel you, oh, too. I mean, you probably don't look at yourself like that, but there hasn't been an African family, American family, on soap as long as the Winter family has. I mean, you know, so right there, you are doing something great, because not a lot of the soaps have really let, you know, them come in and stay for as long as the Winter family has stayed. And that's really impressive.
Let me carefully explain something, and then let me add an addendum to what I was talking about with possibly being employed by General Hospital if I weren't with Young and the Restless. The first choice would be Bold and the Beautiful, simply because it's all in the family. So if indeed they wanted me to, I would go over to Bold and the Beautiful and be a part of that story. But to answer your question about the Winters family and 22 years, you know, there's a lot of characters on this show as well, you know. And sometimes head writers lose sight of certain characters, families. You know, if you look back into the history of Young and the Restless, you know, the Brooks family that was so prominent long ago. They are no longer really on the campus. You know, the Winters family somehow has managed to stay for as long as it has. Is part of that the fact that it's an African-American family? Yes. A part of it is that they're, you know, there's some talented people within the storyline, likable, engaging characters. And, you know, we're well integrated in the show. I agree with you that there should be more integration. I agree that I'd like to work more. Yeah, I'd like to be a part of the Christmas episode, if indeed we film one this year. But, you know, I just keep my fingers crossed, you know, as an artist and hope that I get material that I feel proud to do on a daily basis. And so, you know, I can't say that that's been the case over the past 5 years up until recently. There's been some, you know, hit and miss storylines. There's been some hit and miss episodes. But indeed, with the dawning of a new day, the new piece, you know, Josh Griffith as head writer, executive producer, Jill Farron Phelps, who I'm going to ask the audience to please be patient with the new team. I put on Twitter recently a tweet about a butterfly, you know, the metamorphosis of a caterpillar to a butterfly. And it's a similar thing, man. We were just born, reborn again. And it takes a minute for the wings to flap, to gain some altitude, and to float, you know, how we want to float. We're getting there, people. You just got to be patient.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think with SoFans, patient and SoFans, I don't think are in the human dictionary, because it's very hard for SoFans to be patient. It's like they want it when they want it, and they want it right now, and when they don't get it, they are upset. And, you know, but I know with the new writing team and the new everything, it does take time, and it does take time for people to adjust to it. And, you know, I was happy with the news today that Marcy Ryland Abbey is coming back. I think that is a very good decision for Y&R to make. And I just think, like, you're right, it needs some time. We have to be patient. And, you know, I wished that, it was already happening, but I know it's going to take time. And, you know, they've only been there since, what, October or September?
Right. Yeah,
so,
October. I think October was October 12th, I believe. Right around there was the transition of from the old episodes to the new. Carly, I know you know this, that human beings by nature are fickle and impatient, you know, most. And we live in a fast society, fast food, fast cars, fast everything. Right, we're in a digital tech.
Yep.
You know, our technology is even surpassing, you know, our knowledge. And so we want it, like you said, and we want it now. And the fans have a right to ask for things and to have conclusions to storylines, etc. Sometimes patience isn't, you know, possible. People do turn off their televisions when they don't like certain things, when they see storylines that aren't moving along fast enough, or maybe they're moving along too quickly, you know. So when I say be patient, I'm not talking about the next 2 years. I'm talking about the next few months, you know, to just let the balance of 2012 go by and to start 2013. And the storylines are getting more exciting. I'm seeing it happen. I'm talking to, you know, the actors and the writers and people behind the scenes about it. And everybody is definitely you know, on board with this new feeling, this new purging of the old and the significance of the new. So, like I said, just a little more time.
Yeah, well, Blog Talk is being a bad little Blog Talk tonight, but we do have a call on the line for you. Would you want to take it?
Of course, yeah. Let's talk to her or him.
Okay. Hey, Catherine, you're on with Christoph.
Hi, Carly. Hi, Christoph.
Hi, is it Catherine?
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How are you tonight? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Revere, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Nice and chilly over there tonight?
It's very nice here tonight. It's cold.
Yeah, great. What's happening in your life?
Well, I just want to say a couple things. But first, I want to say you are the most generous and respectful guest Kali has ever had. I want to tell you that. I'm a listener, and you really are. I wanted to say that first.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that. But it's easy to be nice to Kathy. It's easy to be nice to Carly, though, because she is a sweetheart. And one day soon, I hope to meet you, Carly. You have to come over to Young and the Restless and check out the set.
I'm going to DM you about that because I am going to be in LA for General Hospital Fan Club weekend.
Well, I'm sorry. When are you coming?
In July.
Oh, July. Okay, so.
Yeah, in the summer. I was going to DM you and see if maybe we could work something out.
We will work something out. Now, maybe. So, listen, get your hottest bikini, your skimpiest bikini, and come on out to California because it's going to be hot.
Yeah, well, I know, but I can't wait. But talk to Kathy, because I know she's a really big fan of yours, and, you know, yeah.
Sure, Kathy. So tell me what's happening with how you feel about the show and the transition from Maria Arena Bell to Josh Griffith.
Well, I'm loving the show. I'm liking the show a lot. What I wanted to talk to you about, well, of course, I love your scenes with Devon. They've always been great, but I'm liking this new dynamic with Devon working in the office. I'm liking it a lot. I see a different relationship. It's the same relationship, but I'm seeing him working for you and him getting into the business a little bit, and there's a new dynamic between the two of you, and I'm liking it.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very sharp and pointed to pick up. I appreciate that.
All your scenes with him are great. And I think I'm going to like that relationship with Leslie.
Yeah, she's, like I said earlier in the program, she's just such a sweetheart and definitely, you know, a breath of fresh air for the show. And we'll see how the relationship develops. I think there's some very interesting stuff going to be happening with her. I'm glad that you're enjoying what you're seeing.
Because you needed a love interest. I mean, I loved Harmony, and I was sad to see her go like everyone else was, but, you know, you definitely need a love interest.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't think, though, that Neil needs to rush into anything, seeing that he just came out of arranged. It was an arranged, you know, relationship with Sophia, you know, and most definitely coming out of that and jumping right into a relationship with Leslie is a little fast, you know, but we'll see. I don't think we're going to get married anytime soon, so that's the good news. Are you still there?
I hear a baby. Is that a baby crying?
No, that's a cat. About five months ago, I was in my living room and I heard this meowing outside of my house. I opened my front door, and there's this white and orange cat, kind of calico, and very skinny. Looked up and just, you know, meowed some more. Walked in the house, and she hasn't left. So that was, almost 6 months ago now.
Oh, I love it. I have a cat. Love it.
Yeah. You're a cat person, huh?
I'm a cat person. I am definitely a cat person. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I love cats, too. When I was growing up, we had a family of cats. And as an adult, I got dogs. Unfortunately, my three of the four pups that I had passed in the last few years.
Oh.
So the cat was very welcome before when the dogs were alive. I don't think the cat would have stood a chance, but anyway. How many cats do you have?
I have one, Sam. I have one cat, a perfect cat. Yeah, I have one cat, yeah.
Nice. Well, can I get you to follow me on Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
I follow you.
Oh, do you? What's your Twitter handle?
Kath Tatum, KathTatum. I follow you.
Oh, okay, great. Well, that's fantastic. We'll be able to talk on Twizzle.
Well, thank you very much, and I enjoy watching you, so I'll be watching you every day.
I appreciate it, Kathy. Thanks for calling in. Have yourself a wonderful, blessed weekend, okay?
Same to you. And, Callie, thank you very much.
No problem. Christoph, we have one more call.
Okay.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, it's me and Amanda on the same three-way call.
Oh,
here.
Okay.
Hi, Carly.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Hi, is that Amanda?
On the phone right now, so.
Okay. Is that Amanda?
Yeah.
Yeah, Amanda and Christy.
Oh, Amanda and Christy, okay.
Yep.
So, Amanda, do people call you Mandy?
You one, man.
Amanda, do people call you Mandy for short? Is that their nickname, Mandy?
No, I'm just Amanda.
Okay, well, do you have any nickname?
No, not really.
Oh, okay, I do. Mine is K-Stoff or Stoff. All right, so I figure everybody has a nickname. That one seemed natural. Anyway, all right, so what's happening tonight?
I mean, when I was little, I was Manda Panda, but not now.
Oh, listen, you'll always be Manda Panda to your mom and dad, right?
I guess so.
Right.
But I was finding it funny when you were just talking to Kathy, because a cat showed up on my back door. I have two dogs that hate cats, and I have nowhere to put it, so I have an attached garage and a two-car garage that's heated, so I have it in there, and she's loving life, but I don't know how long I can keep it, because my dogs will kill it.
Wow, yeah.
But she's very sweet.
That's a precarious position to be in, mama of a cat who... at some point might meet its maker. It might lose all nine lives to the dogs, right?
Yeah. Well, my dogs are pit bulls, so yes. They would take it apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my middle daughter, my middle child has a pit bull, and as sweet as he is, he does not like cats or other dogs, really. So, yeah, I hear you. Well, good luck with that. I hope that... you all live a very long, prosperous life, and the cat manages to live with you.
Well, thank you.
Sure. So what can I help you with tonight with the show?
Any questions you have for you guys?
I have one. I don't know if you asked this, Carly, but do you have any projects you're working on that you're excited about that's coming up? Because I see something on your IMDb called Redemption, The Darkness Descending. So I don't know if Carly asked you about that.
No, I haven't. No.
Is that Amanda or Christy?
That was me, Christy.
Hi, Christy. What's your nickname, Christy?
Christy, actually, because my full name is Christina. So.
Oh, okay. So there you go. All right, K-Tina, I'm going to call you. What's up, K-Tina? So, the projects, right? Darkness Descending or Ascending is a project that I've made with a friend of mine who directed it, Mark Klebanoff. And it does not have a release date yet. It is it's a project written by Frank Krueger, who is another buddy of mine, a very talented writer. It's got a pretty good cast, man, I must say. I loved working with Louis Mandalore. And I can't give you any information because I don't have it, but I am working on a few other things. And one is presently right now I'm finished, but I'm never finished with the project until it's absolutely done and out the house. It's a documentary that I've been laboring over for over a year now, and submitting it for film festivals the first part of 2013. I can tell you that the documentary is about my family's journey from Los Angeles, California, to the south of India, where we lived in an ashram with a holy man. This particular holy man has 50 million followers worldwide. We were Hindu for many years, almost a decade. This was quite some time ago. I'm no longer a Hindu. I no longer follow this particular holy man. I can't because he's dead. But the documentary is about our experience in India, what happened while we were there. And I hope to have this out as a theatrical release the last part of 2013 once I run through the film festivals.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, not what you expected, huh?
Well, it's interesting to me because my mom's second marriage was to a Hindu Indian, and they went to India a lot and always would bring back video and presents and jewelry and all kinds of stuff. So it's interesting to me because my little sister is half Indian.
Oh, you're kidding. That's wow. So is she Hindu or is she does she practice Hinduism or not?
It's kind of weird. She was always raised Christian, but since she was about 13, she kind of not practices both, but respects both and goes to both. So we'll see. Her dad does want her to marry a Hindu, though, so I don't know.
Well, in India, they like to do arranged marriages. You know what I'm talking about, right? They do arranged marriages.
That sounds exactly like him.
I'm telling you now. Okay, never mind. Yes. What part of India is he from?
You know? New
Delhi. Oh,
New
okay.
Delhi.
New Delhi. Yeah, I've been there. I've been in New Delhi. I kind of crisscrossed around the south, Bombay, which is now known as Mumbai, but it was known as Mumbai before Bombay. It's a beautiful country. Yes, it's a third world country, but it's absolutely gorgeous, and it should be on everyone's bucket list for travel, at least to go and visit some of the more popular tourist spots. But even still, because I didn't really go to all the popular tourist spots, I ended up in kind of remote locations, which were even more lush and beautiful than a lot of what I've heard, you know, people talk about in India. So anyway, well, good luck to you and your family. And any question about the show or anything at all?
No, nothing. It pretty much was answered.
Okay. Well, great. Well, good.
Okay, so I'm going to put you two on mute. Yeah. Besides those projects, any other projects you're working on? Any other maybe movies coming out or any movie scripts? Or?
Well, one would think so. With the amount of time that I had off, you know, it's 2008 through 2012, middle of, but no, not at this time. I mean, I'm always writing, so I tend to fancy myself a bit of a writer. I actually had a screenplay that Warner Brothers picked up. They never made it, but I keep the faith and I'm diligent, and it occupies a lot of my spare time. So I am pitching a few different shows. A couple of them are reality-based. One of them is a sitcom, a single-camera sitcom. And I've also been working on a project. I can't talk too much about it, but it's called Princeton Gates. And Princeton Gates is a one-hour drama that some very good, credible people are working on it. The DeBarge family is part of it. The Jackson family, as in Jackson 5 or, you know,
yeah.
Not Randy Jackson. Randy Jackson Jr. is a part of it, the DeBarge girls, et cetera. So that's another project that it came to my attention a couple of months ago. So that one also does not have a destined release date. We are waiting to see about a pickup. I'm still part of a show called Family Time, which, strangely enough, stars Angel Conwell. Family Time is a Bentley Kyle Evans project. Bentley Kyle Evans was the showrunner, executive producer, head writer for Jamie Foxx show and Martin. And so Family Time is his new baby. It's been on the Bounce network. A lot of people don't get that network. It's an African-American channel. It's not on DirecTV, but slowly but surely it will be offered on more satellite locations or companies. So that's another project that I've been working on.
Wow, you are busy.
Yeah, I just sound busy.
No. I mean, okay, so what? I mean, now that you brought up Nami, what is it like with the Jackson 5, or the Jackson 4, because they were together, and, they were doing the, concerts, and that has to be really interesting to work with the Jackson, I think. That would be very, I think, interesting.
It's nice to be associated with them, and they are an iconic family. Michael will be greatly missed. I had the chance to meet Michael a couple of occasions, but the Jackson family is, Jermaine and Randy, very nice guys, just nice people, good folks, soft-spoken, good intentions, when I say love, peace, and light as the closing to some of my letters, et cetera, that's what I think of when I think of the Jackson family. Even though there's been a lot of internal issues, a lot of kind of zany, weird stuff that has cloaked them for quite some time, they're still such a wonderful family, And
but,
Michael, like I said, was at the top of that list, so. Yeah.
But, what family is not, I think because they are so famous, everything they do, they don't have a chance to breathe. And I still don't think they got to really grieve in private for Michael, so really everything they do is out for the press to see, so really they don't have a chance to be like a normal family all the time.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Just want to say congratulations about meeting your birth mom. I read that. So you found you something, I read. So I don't know if that was true or not. So if it wasn't, sorry. But if it was, that is really good for you.
Well, thank you. Yes, it is true. I did revisit my birth mother after 20 years of no contact. I had not seen her since I was 23 or 24. I can't remember. I hadn't seen her at that point for 20 years. So it's a long story, one which I'm not going to share tonight, but I will tell you that it's just such a pleasure to have her back in my life again. And at a critical time for her, she's suffering from cancer. The good news thank you. I appreciate your condolences. The good news is that she just met with the oncologist, and she is in remission. So that is a good, wonderful thing. Prayers that were sent by those that saw the story, I thank all those that, prayed and, the power of prayer is really strong, man. So thank you for your well wishes, though, Carly. I appreciate that.
I didn't know if you want to bar up or not. And you read so much that you don't know if this is true, this is not true. So, it gets kind of sketchy when you read something, you're like, okay, is this true, not true, so.
You're right. There's a lot of misinformation disseminated, and this particular story, though, is very true, very real, and I can attest to that because I'm in the middle of it. But again, thank you for your kind words, and at some point when we talk again, I will share the rest of the story with you.
Yeah, I would love you to come back I know it's Friday night, so you probably have to go. What are you doing for the rest of the weekend?
Well, actually, I've got Lola, my daughter, my 9-year-old,
he's so
for the
cute.
Weekend.
I've seen pictures of her, and, oh, my God, I'm in love with her. She's so cute.
Thank you for saying that. She is a little cutie pie, and not just because she's my daughter. I think the world of her. You know, I love her sassiness, sort of being rude, however. You know, we're working on some stuff with, she's a sassy little girl with a lot on her mind, and, you know, having another daughter in my life. I'm, you know, well prepared for the onslaught from the male species. I'm going to, you know, do exactly what I did with Paris, which is when she starts dating Lola, that is, I will be at that young man's door of his car, asking him just like a police officer, "Can I see your driver's license?" And I'll write down his driver's license information, and then I'll go back to behind the car and I'll look at the license plate. I'll write that down. And I'm going to do it smooth, too. This is going to be like Denzel. I'm going to look at him and say, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to say, my man, I got your license. I got your license plate. Have a home by 10:30, not a minute after. Because if you are, you don't want to know. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to scare him. I love it. I remember doing that to some boys, and they would flip out. They would just, like, I could see him shaking, you know? So, anyway.
Wait, you say to 9, okay. I have nieces that are 8, 9, and 10, and their biggest thing for Christmas they want is a cell phone, with their parents and my parents have said, no, they are way too young for that. And
yeah.
They want Facebook, they want Twitter, they want everything. Well, where do you come down with it? Because, you know, we live in a society where everyone has a cell phone, and kids want it earlier and earlier.
Well, yes, they do. It's funny you bring this up today, because I just had this conversation yesterday with my daughter, with my 9-year-old, about cell phones. And it seems that she's not happy as a fourth grader with the cell phone that I bought her. I bought her a prepaid phone. The phone wasn't that expensive, although to some people it would be expensive. It was $35, right? And I give her this phone, and I say, little Lola, this is your connection to mommy and me and to a couple of your friends, to your close friends. You know, be careful with it. Don't overuse it. She cannot go on the Internet with it, et cetera. And so yesterday she comes to me and says, Daddy, I want an iPhone. I said, of course you do. Of course you do. Let me guess. One of your friends has an iPhone. She says, how did you know? I went, I'm your dad. I know. And she says, not only does one of my friends have, but a lot of my friends have the iPhone. I went, wow, that's crazy. So now you want one too? She says, yeah. Well, can I get one? And I went, no, you can't have an iPhone. Dude, look at my phone. I have an iPhone. I just got this. This I had this year. Before that, I had an Android. But, you know, I kept myself away from the iPhone because I knew that at some point I would treat myself to the iPhone, you know. And you have to earn your own iPhone. If you want an iPhone, I'll tell you what. All you have to do is fill out an application somewhere and get a job. And then you can earn the money and you buy your iPhone. Mm. And I'm crazy.
How did she take it?
Not very well. Not very well at all. I mean, she just didn't like that idea. She said, of course I can't get a job. You know that, Dad. And she said, and plus Christmas is coming. And so she threw the Christmas card at me. And I said, in all seriousness, this is not the phone for a 9-year-old, at least in my opinion. You know, you have to have some sort of, you know, career, something going on. Because I've given her a tablet. She already has the iPad, you know, and why would she need the iPhone? You know, she wants to play games on the iPhone. That's all she wants my iPhone for. So I'm definitely not going to buy an iPhone to be a game console.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't have kids. I have so many nieces and nephews, and they beg me for an iPhone already for Christmas. And, like, you guys, if I do that, your parents will kill me. I have a radio show, you guys, and if I'm dead, my audience won't get to listen to me. Would that be good? And they go, well, that would be very tragic, but we need the iPhone now. And
right.
I'm like, what? I mean, I'm sorry. In my opinion, kids are growing up way too fast, and I think you are doing the right thing with Lola and not getting her the iPhone. But when she does that puppy dog face, and, you know, she's going to try everything she can until Christmas Day to get that iPhone.
Right, yeah. Well, she's already done the puppy thing. We went through that. And that was unsuccessful. She did not get the puppy. When my middle daughter was 16, I gave her a rather sizable check for her birthday because, according to her, I don't pick the right clothes for her. And I understand that. She has her own style. And so, you know, I give her this check and I said, go buy your own clothes, you know, have fun. And, you know, she likes to shop anyway. Well, she came back the same day, no clothes, and a puppy. And
what?
I told her then, she was 16, I said, okay, the puppy is really cute. I must admit, it's a beautiful puppy. But I'm going to tell you now that it's like having a child, and I don't need a grandchild that's a dog running around my house, right? It's like having a child. So I want you to take the doggy back, get whatever refund you can, because we don't need this dog in the family. You don't need this dog in the family. I promise I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do everything. So we go through this, and she keeps the dog. Well, karma's interesting. See, this is how I know that, you know, the stars align and everything. I told her this over and over, you know, take that dog back. The dog got into an altercation at the dog park, bit someone. The someone that the dog bit happened to be an older gentleman. He was about 70 years old. He was surrounded by a group of dogs. There was about 7 of them. And it was unclear that my daughter's dog had bitten him. But he claimed it did. Not only was he an older gentleman who was grumpy, he just had, you know, a thing out for dogs and kids. I don't know why he was at a dog park. He didn't even have a dog. But he was also an attorney. The two combined, being grumpy and being an attorney, let me just say it like this. That dog cost $50,000 in the family. And that's how I know that I was right from the beginning. I was right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you should have a reality show with your kids, because I know I will watch it. I find all this interesting. But, you know, for your 16-year-old, I remember when I was 16, and I told my mom and dad, okay, you guys don't know any good tapes and clothes. Just give me the money. Just give me the credit card. I will go do it. And my dad finally gave in and gave me the credit card, you know, gave me, like, how much I was supposed to spend. Oh, I'm a girl. I spend a little over. But she's 16, so she's going to want her own clothes. And soon, you know, it's going to be something else. She probably wants you to buy her a new car. And, you know, so it's just 16 and 9 are really tough ages, and I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. That's the, I got to treat the 16-year-old obviously a lot different than the 9-year-old, but it's still on the same sort of platform. You know, I couldn't insist that she take the dog back. I mean, I couldn't take the dog from her and take it back to the breeder, but, you know, the 9-year-old, when she wanted a dog, I just had to break it all down to her and about her older sister's issues with the dog. But, you know, what's interesting is years ago I did an after-school special. And the subject of it was called First the Egg, and it was about a group of elementary students who have to take care of a raw egg, not out of the shell, but in the shell, an egg, for 1 week as their foster parent of the egg. And they're grouped together in male and female couplings, and then the fallout is all about them taking care of the egg. In the morning, they got to get up, They got to feed the egg. They got to dress it, get it ready, and then take the egg with them. Be careful with it. Of course, most of the eggs broke, and the kids get the idea. The moral of the story is, hey, man, maybe we're too young to be thinking about, you know, parenting. But I suggest that for anybody who has children, if they want a pet and they're a little too young for one, give them an egg. Give them just a regular egg and say, take care of this for the next week of your life. You got to feed it. You got to bathe it. You got to clothe it. You got to make sure before you go to bed that the egg is okay. Take it with you, please. See if that egg actually lasts for the week, right?
It does. You know, it's not quite yet, Naaman. You know, I live on my own. I'm 30-something, and I would not want the responsibility of a dog. A dog, right now, when you live on the fifth floor, okay, is not the best idea. So as much as I would want a dog or a cat, no. But, you know, when you're 16, of course you're going to want a puppy. When you're 9, you want, you know, iPhone. You know, the 9-year-old, the next thing she's going to ask you is, and I promised you this, Dad, when can I have a car? When can we start looking for a car in like 3 or 4 years? That is coming. That is coming for you. All those teenage things, the teenage years are the worst, and I feel for you. But my dad said raising a girl is easier than raising a boy. For some reason, he found my sister and I easier than the boys. So maybe I don't know if you feel that way, but sometimes people do say, you know, that girls are easier than boys, but...
I'm surrounded by girls, but I also have a son. My oldest is my son, and it's kind of true. Girls require more maintenance. Boys are, you know, I mean, even though the Air Jordans are what they are, $150, you know, they want certain things, but not like the girls do. And, you know, but I love my girls. I mean, they're so wonderfully loving, you know, and that's, my son could care less about a lot of stuff that's going on in my own life. And there's an old saying that says, a son is yours till he takes a wife, but a daughter is yours for the rest of her life. So I can translate that by saying, when I'm old and gray and on my deathbed, you know, I can give you a pretty good, you know, indication that my girls will be there. My son will probably call from somewhere, if he calls at all, and said, Dad, have a nice trip. By the way, can I get some money before you go?
Well, I mean, that's why my dad's thankful that he has us too, because the boys love him, but the boys, you know, I would call them and like, Dad doesn't feel well. Whatever, and they go, okay, he will go. Well, I'm like, but he's sick. And the boys are like, oh, okay. Like, it doesn't faze boys as much as girls with issues like that. So when you're older, maybe I'll take care of you, and it's perfect.
I nurture my kids all the same. But my daughters nurture me much more than my son does. And that's the truth. I mean, boys are tough, you know, and what is it, the snakes and tails and puppy dog, whatever that saying is. But bottom line is, you know, as long as I love it equally, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, and but it's good that you get to hang out with your daughter all weekend. I mean, that is really good. And, you know, you get to do fun, non-year-old things. And, you know, all I got to say is, you know, kids, I mean, they grow up so fast. So, you know, you just have to enjoy them and, you know, and maybe, you know, break down and buy the iPhone in 3 years for her. See?
Yeah, there'll come a point when she's deserving of an iPhone, age deserving. At 9, I don't believe that's the case.
No,
That doesn't mean that those that give their kids iPhones are doing anything wrong. That's what's right for their family. You know, my family is, not that it's so much different. It's just that I don't necessarily agree with, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. If your little best friend has, you know, X, it doesn't mean that you have to have X.
I mean, I know you probably have to go, but that's what I was going to ask you. You live in LA, so is it harder for you as a parent because you guys live in LA? I mean, it's everywhere, but in LA, is it harder for you as a dad to say, no, this, well, you guys have a great life out there. It's LA, all these kids are doing whatever, and when you say no about a certain thing, are you feeling bad or are you feeling like we cannot keep up with the Kardashians here?
Very good. Keeping up with the Kardashians. Love that. All right. Well, it's a little tougher for me to say no because I get my youngster every other weekend and every Wednesday. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll get additional days depending on what's going on. I used to get her every weekend when the divorce was fresh, and that was nice. I'd like to put a little bit more of my stamp during the week on my daughter, Lola, you know, during the 5 days that she's going to school, and help her even more than I do now. But I'm still pretty good at saying no, because if you give them everything, they turn out to be really bratty. And, you know, I can attest to this. You know, my son, my firstborn, I don't remember saying no that often. And when I finally did start saying no, he was like, what do you mean no? You always say yes. You know, you know, she's such a precious little girl, though. You know, she's well beyond her years as 9 years old. She's more like, you know, 15, 16. She really has some interesting thoughts in her head. But,
has she ever seen you on YNL? I mean, has she ever tuned in and see what Dad does? I mean, because YNL is very adult show, but, you know, has she ever, like, think, oh, I want to see what, you know, my dad on there, or does he even care?
She does not care in the least bit, other than she knows the name of the show. I do take her to work with me. Yeah, I take her to work and let her run around and see how she gets her toys, how she gets the things, the clothes on her back. She really doesn't watch the, she's never watched the show, and she really doesn't care. Yeah.
I mean,
who knows? Maybe the show will still be on when, you know, she's grown and she'll start enjoying it.
Well, unless she gets a little older and stinks, and that's how I started. But I know you have to go, but I hope you come back again because, you know, I love talking to you. You are one of my favorite guests of all time. Everyone knows that. And, you know, just remember, you know, tell everyone in YNL that they should come on Daytime After Dark because it's the funnest interview you've ever been on, and just plug me like there's no tomorrow.
You're so sweet and kind, and I appreciate you, Carly. What you do for other people out there by doing your radio show, you know, you give back and you make people smile, and that's the important thing. Seriously, at the end of the day, you know, how many people did we affect in a positive way? What did we do? How do we live our lives today to improve our own condition and others, you know, and that's kind of key. And I don't say this stuff to sound like a good guy, but it's, you know, it's definitely a part of my makeup. You know, random acts of kindness are always welcome. You know,
yeah.
You stop, you help someone, you go out of your way just for a few seconds or for a few minutes, and you're paid back in spades by whatever higher power, God that you have in your life. So, I got to applaud you for really just keeping your commitment and doing your show like this because you get to, you know,
thank
have a lot
you.
Of fun, but also you're educating
yep,
people, so
and
thank you.
Have fun with Lola. Stick to the no iPhone. She won't hate you when she's 16. Well, she will hate you for some other reason, but, you know, she won't be that mad at you for Christmas. Just give her something good. And, you know, my advice is they are getting older enough, just give them gift cards, too, because even the 9-year-old is probably going to think, he doesn't know how to pick out my clothes. He doesn't know how to, you know, pick out my music. So gift cards are always the way to go.
Gift cards are always fun. But truth be known, Most of my family don't really want gift cards. They want, you know, except for the my middle daughter. You know, Lola actually enjoys when I, you know, shop with her. And that's unusual me because Paris never really enjoyed me being with her as she was shopping, possibly because she likes to shop for a lengthy period of time. You know, but Lola's sort of like me. She likes to pick stuff and get out. And so we have a good relationship when it comes to that. But thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
And so I know you have to be going, and have a good weekend. And are you guys on high? Are you done with YNL for the year? Are you still working? Because I've seen other stars Twitter, like from other stuff, so that they are almost wrapped up for the year. So I didn't know if you were done.
No, we are not done. We are still working, and we'll work up until the week before Christmas. I believe we'll take the Christmas week off, and the week after that for the new year, and then we'll be back to the grind. So, I'll be thinking of you when I go back to work next week. And here's what I'll do. I know that you were trying to get Jeannie Cooper on the show, but you asked for Jessica Collins tonight, and let me make that happen. Let me put in a good word and get Jessica to give you a call and get her on your show as a guest.
Okay, thanks, Christoph. Have a great weekend. Aloha.
I sure will, Carly. Blessings to you, and have a wonderful rest of your weekend.
You too. Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, are you on?
We're unmuted. Mm-hmm. We're unmuted, are we?
Yep. Are we, this me and you?
Oh, no,
who's
on the phone?
Yeah, no. How did I do?
I'm still here, and you were great.
I was.
Awesome, Carly. Awesome.
Layla?
Yeah. I guess so, too.
Okay.
I'm going to have a fun interview. He's really interesting.
Yeah, because I didn't even know, honestly, I'll be honest, I didn't, like,
he's got some strange,
I don't watch YNR as much.
And it was
really weird to, like, have that communication, like, because a cat did show up randomly at my house this week, and my mom's second marriage was to a Hindu Indian, so I thought that was, like, really interesting how we had that. But great job, Carly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to end the show, like, 3 minutes early because I want to get, you know, on to Layla Radio, everyone. And so I take it both of you will be over at Layla Radio tonight, right?
Yep.
If Presti doesn't hang up on me, then yep.
Layla will never hang up on anyone but probably me, because
I'm having
a
problem, Carly. Like, my cell phone broke, so.
No.
My cell phone is broke, so that's why I haven't been calling in. I have no cell phone, so Presti had to call my house phone. Because I don't have long distance in order for me to call in.
That's
her first direct contact to the outside world besides Twitter.
Yeah,
in
like
3 weeks.
I would die. I would not die, but okay. So I will be head over.
I'm going out of my mind.
I will head over to Layla Radio, and I will see you guys there.
Okay.
Bye.
Great job again.
Bye. Yes. Bye.
Okay. All right, how are we doing?
Now I drop the last call. Okay, so now I'm going to see if I can call into my switchboard with you on the phone. We'll see how that works. Amanda?